hostile zone hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power influence over others isn't met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're here with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face calling a spade a spade. No fake news here. Right here on the Hostile Zone, I'm Eric A. Sinani, Eric Andrew Sinani with a big A. Who?
Eric Sinani, of course.
Right here on your FM dial, 99.9 KKTC. True country?
True America.
True Sinani, folks, because Sinani's on your side, as always. And never, ever forget that, regardless of the bots, trolls, and haters.
And the stalkers.
Don't forget the stalkers. Yeah, we have those two now. So I'm accompanied by the on-air sensational vocalist, Miss Bianca C. S-E-A, like the ocean.
Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Miss Bianca. I love that brooch. You always wear that.
Oh, thank you.
That is like legitimately, and I remember when you got that. That is like a legitimate, like super
antique.
It really
is antique. Yes. Yeah. I love
it. It's super antique. Yeah.
I love antique shopping.
Every time I'm out and I see something similar to that, remember I sent you a picture of a charm, of a necklace like that?
Yes.
Because I do a little antiquing myself, you know, so.
I love it. I mean, it's great, you know. I feel like when you go antiquing, you have like a part of history in America.
You really are. You're bringing, you know.
Some stuff they don't make anymore.
You're keeping history alive.
Yeah.
You're
and
keeping
it's
the history.
It's recycling as well,
oh,
you know.
Oh, there you go. Green.
It's great for the environment.
We're very green here on this show.
Yes. So, yeah, I love this. I love it, especially since I've been watching like the shows like Bridgerton and stuff. And Bridgerton, it's a
wait. She's the one. Was she the one that at one point was a columnist?
Well, no. I believe it's like Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, I don't. You got
you're
me.
Probably talking about.
Well,
hey,
no,
in that
she
era,
she was beheaded.
Yes,
she was guillotined.
She was beheaded.
Yeah,
but this Bridgerton is like a show for it.
It's like
in
English.
That era.
It's like English.
Yeah. No.
Like royalty kind of.
It is royalty.
You know, yeah. I'm embarrassed to admit, folks. I'm embarrassed to admit, but I've been paying attention to the Meghan Markle and Prince Harry stuff, and
I'm
never did before. I never
too.
Did before. Having met Harry on more than one occasion, I'm a fan of Prince Harry. So I can only imagine what it was like for him to grow up. And be, like, literally, like he says, the spare, you know?
Mm. You know, it's like a every brother and sister. You know, like the siblings.
Every brother and sister's not going to be king, though.
I have a brother and sister, so that's why I said it. But it's like a regular sibling, you know? There's always the favorite.
There's civil rivalry, but we're talking about one is going to be the king. Okay. One is going to be the king of a major nation. With multiple commonwealths underneath it, and you know that's a big deal. You know
what?
You know, fighting over who's G.I. Joe is being passed down and who got the used TV and who got the new one is basic stuff that we argue about if my brother and I were fighting over who was going to be president and I was the one that was destined to be president just based on the air. Of how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
There would be some battle, I'm sure of it. You know,
bloodline
blood goes only so far. They say blood is thicker than water, but power is, and power and money and greed is thicker than everything.
Could you imagine fighting like over stupid stuff?
And
like,
whatever.
One day I'm still going to be king and that's it.
I'm sure that, right?
Like,
I'm
right,
sure every
like,
time they play hide and go seek and Harry won. William was like, well, but I'm going to be king. But anyway, you know, this is not a royal show, but shout out to you, Harry.
That's funny we're talking about this. But my brooch is very like
that is very Queen Victoria.
I love that era.
Yeah, so
and you know what? Nowadays, I want to bring this back. I mean, I love accessorizing when you have something, and you know, the rule is like if you're under over 50, you could wear the brooch. But you know what? That's just a tale. That's just like saying you can't wear white after Labor Day or something. Right. You know, fashion icons. You know, you always start up a trend, and I feel like I love this. And plus, you know what? Carrie from Sex and the City also had like a brooch like this when on the Vogue episode.
Well, you know, I got a couple memories from I got a couple memories from Sex and the City. Number one was when she was in Vogue, and
that's when she wore this. She wore this a brooch like this, but with the pinstripe jacket. So I liked it.
And remember, goes into the room there, and the guy that she woke up to, he called her Cookie, and his pants were off, and she thought she was in heaven. She thought she was in heaven to get the
clothes. That's what I said, because he was giving her a martini during the day.
Getting drunk at Vogue.
Look at me. Yes, Cookie is drunk. Oops, I spilled that Vogue.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it is definitely interesting. So,
but so what's going on for today?
Well, today is complete opposite of where we started.
Let's get to the
if you're watching the show, the ticker on the bottom of the screen
right here,
the Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, the Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinati at bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinati at bbstalkradio.com. And Bianca C, S-E-A, at bbstalkradio.com. And, of course, always Eric at ericandrewsinati.com. And if you wanted to drop us a text, how would they do that?
By texting us at 917-877-0171.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome.
So, really kind of far turn from Royals. It was just an interesting thing we went off on. But today I want to talk about something a little bit more, I guess it's important. I don't know how much news coverage there will be on it. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of national security. This is not one of those type of stories, but this is an educational story. Folks, if you have children, this is definitely the time that they might want to listen to this show. And this is definitely a good topic to research on your own. So basically, we're going to talk about a story about true American resilience, legitimate, true American resilience, getting knocked down, getting back up, like Frank Sinatra says. Resilience, standing up, fighting for what it is that you do and what you believe in. This is a story of that. And it's happening, folks, right now, as we speak. Next time you go outside, look up into the sky and you'll understand what we're talking about. It is the pursuit of perfection, because in the United States, we believe there are no points for second place. Bottom line, you either win or you lose. We don't want second place, right? We have the Olympics coming up. We want the gold. We don't want the silver or the bronze. Well, all right, we'll be happy if we take it, but that's not what we're looking for. We want the gold. So we are a nation of resilience. No matter how hard we get hit or how hard we get kicked following Sylvester Stallone, we're going to get back up and keep taking the hits.
That's right.
Because we're in pursuit of perfection. Against the backdrop of the final frontier. Yes, folks? We're talking about space, the final frontier. Maybe there's another frontier after that, but as of right now, it's the final frontier. And we have an issue right now. NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams are remain aboard the International Space Station, and their return has been delayed indefinitely.
What?
Due to issues with their craft. Now, here is the interesting fact, Miss Bianca.
What?
Guess who made this Starliner spacecraft?
Who made it?
Boeing.
Oh.
If you remember, Boeing has been in the news. They've been in front of Congress for allegedly having shortcuts and, you know, pushing, you know, things to be production, et cetera, moving forward. And there had been accidents, some planes crashed, some planes broke. So I find this to be an interesting...
I've seen a lot of
interesting story, because they mostly, when they talk about Boeing, they're talking about the regular airliners that you, me, and John Q. Public fly on when we go to Disney or Vegas or wherever we might go.
Oh,
As I said on this show before and other shows that I've appeared on, Boeing is one of the major government contractors. So Boeing makes all kinds of military infrastructure, equipment, things that fly, all that kinds of stuff. I'm not specifically going to name the things that they make, but they make several different things for the government, the Department of Defense, CIA, and other agencies, three-letter alphabet agencies. They are making equipment for them. So
not a good reputation for them, huh?
No, but we got two astronauts that are stuck on there. And, that is, if anything, this is how I see this, Miss Bianca.
Yes.
This situation here, before we get into the details of what's going on, mm-hmm. we have so much negativity in our nation right now. People are arguing and fighting each other on the street over politics. People are fighting and arguing over race and religion and just everything, right?
Sadly, yes.
And then we have threats from foreign nations that we're worried about. And then we have people here within our own nation that are against actions of the United States overseas. Mm-hmm. So there is so much discord, word of the day, so much discord amongst the people here in the United States, that even though this is a serious matter and it's a dangerous matter, I think this is a positive thing. Just go with me, if you will, for a second.
Okay.
A positive thing, because this is something that shows American might. It shows American resilience.
How so?
Because these people are stuck in space for, as they said, an indefinite amount of time.
Wow, that's seriously out of this world.
So this is not just a tale of technical difficulties, but this is a tale of the human spirit, human endurance, and scientific precision. If this, of all things, is not the example of the red-blooded American and what our core values at the root, what our founding fathers said and felt about our nation when they created the United States Constitution, it was four times like this. John F. Kennedy said, "We will put a man on the moon, not because we can, but because it's hard." Right? I ad-libbed the quote, "Bots and Trolls." I don't know. I didn't get every word specific, but basically he said, "We want to go to the moon, not because it's easy or we can, but because it's hard." Because we wanted to prove American might, American ingenuity, American resilience. Look at Elon Musk and SpaceX. You know, a lot of the rockets that he puts up there, shout out to Elon. We appreciate your support. I know that you watch the show. Shout out to you. Anyway, so he is, and his program has had so many failures. But like anything, Einstein said, repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. Elon Musk fails, a rocket doesn't launch properly. He is immediately back at the drawing table, figuring out what went wrong, what they can do to make it work next time. Mm. You know, I'm sure that he suffers a dagger in his heart every time that happens, because this is his dream baby. He named his son X. You know what I mean? This is his dream. He is a visionary. He is, again, American ingenuity and resiliency. Okay. So I feel that these astronauts will be safe. You know, the information here that they, you know, that they will, that there is ability to survive in there. Again, it has got to be a very scary and perilous time. There's got to be a lot of fear, anxiety. But these two astronauts are highly trained, highly educated, and they know what they're doing. And they have confidence in each other, which is something we as Americans need to have. I remember my military days, my firefighting times, all that EMS, going out, criminal justice, investigations, everything that I've done, I've had a partner at one point, and we had to acknowledge to one another that I count on you, brother or sister. Mm-hmm. I count on you and you count on me. If you go, we go. I'm there with you. That's it. You know, so these two astronauts have each other. They are America's finest. We just don't send people to the moon.
Right.
We don't send people to the International Space Station. We just don't do that. So these people are highly trained and they have each other.
So let me ask you, is it like Castaway in space right now?
That's an interesting statement. Is it? I mean, there actually was a Russian cosmonaut who actually after the fall of the Iron Wall, when Soviet Union fell, he was in space and. Well, basically, the Soviet Union fell, so he had no government to bring him back home. And he spent, I forget, almost a year in space. And it was a multitude of nations that came together to help the United States, and other people came together to help get him out of space, because there was no more Soviet Union. And he couldn't even walk. They had to carry him, because you lose your muscle density.
Right,
you lose bone density. Anyway,
yeah, but don't they have like a space,
they work out in there, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, that for, you know, extensive
a
period
space
of time,
treadmill, something,
but yeah, at least, yeah, no, you're right. They do. They have a treadmill. They have a weight machine that's connected, you know, with gravity and stuff. But, interestingly enough, you know, they were able to bring him food and supplies. They were unable to get him out so they could drop stuff off. And they would also, and they also pick the garbage up. So they pile in the garbage into a garbage compactor on the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. And when they bring supplies up, they take the garbage.
Wow.
Contrary to belief, many people believe that they throw the garbage into outer space and it just floats there.
They recycle and they have like compost.
They compost it and send it back. Yes, there is space junk flying around. Nuts and bolts and pieces of this and pieces of rockets that are whatever. And, you know, folks, everything that's in orbit will eventually come back to Earth. Did you know roughly 17,000 objects fall back into the atmosphere?
A day. Wow.
We have a NORAD, which is in Cheyenne Mountain, Wyoming. And they basically, without getting into a sea hole, it's us, Canada, that monitors the airspace coming into the it's not just for foreign countries coming in and stuff, you know, like invasion of aircraft, but also they monitor not all space junk. There is another division that monitors space junk, but they do pay attention. They do monitor what's coming in. And so they're aware of these things.
Oh,
now,
okay.
90% of the stuff does fall in the ocean because contrary to belief, folks, most of the Earth is water. And believe it or not, majority of Earth is not even populated. Even if you look at the United States, the majority of the United States is prairie land. Wooded area, or forest area. People, they think, you know, everything, but we have big cities with a lot of congestion. But if you go out to Idaho and to even Nevada in Arizona. It says a long distance.
Oh, yeah.
And those are just a couple examples. We could talk about the North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, you know.
And plus, since there's the internet and everybody has cell phones and pictures, you know, it's more, it's really brought up even more because people actually like film when something from the sky is
right,
down.
Which I so, think like, also is a very good point because I think that, you know, there has been a rise in, typical of the government, when they want to do something, they don't cancel a program. Mm. They don't get rid of a department. They repackage it. Basically, like I've said in the show a million times, they take the bologna and cheese out of the bread, take rid of the slices of bread, take the bologna and cheese and slap it on another piece of bread. It's fresh bread, and they call it a cheese and bologna sandwich, not a bologna and cheese, and voila, it's a new department. So it used to be known as UFO, Unidentified Flying Objects. Now, there's no such thing as an unidentified flying object.
No.
It is now a unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Aerial phenomenon?
Aerial, UAP. Oh. So, you know, they repackaged this. So, yeah, I think with the rise of people seeing this stuff, and don't get me wrong, folks, I think it would be a small-minded person not to think that there is not something else out there. That we are so grand and mighty and so highly intelligent and so our nose in the air to think that out of looking up into the sky that we are the only living beings in that vast area that we don't even know how far it extends. Right. You would literally have to have the tiniest mind to believe that. And NASA now has even come forward and they agree that there's something out there. Now where it is, I want to get into this, but there's something very interesting that happened this week too.
I think we've always known, you know what I mean? It's just not talked about.
There's a thing called the Dyson Sphere.
Okay, yeah.
Dyson, like Dyson chicken, right? Mm-hmm. Dyson Sphere.
Or the vacuum, yeah.
Oh, Tyson chicken, right? Dyson vacuum. So Dyson Sphere, and I'm going to explain it, and I still want to get into what we're talking about with this, but I think it's all interrelated. It's a good conversation.
Sure, what?
And then we'll hit an embedded song before we get into the specifics about space. So the Dyson Sphere has been with the new Del Webb telescope.
Okay.
We used to have other telescope. That name slipped my head. Anyway, it'll come to me in a second. You know, like when you want to name something.
I know. What do they call it? The brain?
a brain. So they got the web. I said Del Webb. That's like a construction community. The web telescope is out in space, and it's out further. Oh, Hubble.
The
Hubble telescope was in a lower orbit, and now the web is surpassed that distance. It's got more mirrors, and it has much more strength, and you're seeing a lot further than we ever did before. So
I love the way it looks too, because it really does look like the honeycomb.
Yes, yeah,
I love it.
With a very thin layer of gold.
Yes, right. Real gold.
Honestly, gold has a lot of good value to it.
Yes.
Besides monetarily, it actually serves a lot of good purposes in electricity.
I think it looks beautiful.
Look, if you have the HDMI cable.
That's my favorite one, actually.
Yeah. HDMI cord at your house, you remember when the HDMI cords first came out?
Yes.
You had regular ones, and they had ones with gold plate on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for conductivity. It does whatever. I don't want to fall into the sea hole on that. But some scientists have found an odd, maybe anomaly, we'll call it, of something that had some infrared signature. And they are trying to figure out what that infrared signature is. Some are speculating it's the creation of a new star. Or some saying it might be what this scientist's name was Dyson, who came up with this theory. And they're saying it could be a Dyson sphere. And let me explain what a Dyson sphere
is. What is that?
The concept of a Dyson sphere, which actually makes a lot of sense. And I wonder why we are not exploring this. And maybe we are. Maybe Mr. Musk is exploring that for Mars. I don't know. But it's basically where you take a bunch of satellites, like we have satellites now, and they circle their star or their civilization, whatever their, you know, the whatever it is that they're circling, the planet, whatever it might be. And on the outside of it is basically really powerful solar shields, solar panels. So the sun that's coming out, which would be very weak if they're further away, because, you know, we're several planets from the sun as it is. Right. And we're getting, like, we call the Goldilocks area, where we have the ability to, you know, we have good, what's the matter, you're laughing at me?
Yeah, it was cute.
But that's what they call it, the Goldilocks, you know. Goldilocks meaning, like, it's perfect. It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
It's just right.
It's just right.
That's very cute.
Just right. So, these Dyson Sphere would be around, and it would harness the power of the star, of the sun, and in through these solar panels, and it would provide, like, an abundantful, maybe an unlimited amount of electricity to that planet.
Wow.
Or that, whatever it is, civilization, whatever you want to call it. It is a very lofty thought, and a very interesting concept that poofed some people's minds out here, but look it up. He was a real scientist. Now they're saying with this new telescope, the infrared, they're seeing infrared sees a heat signature, basically, like your motion camera on your doorbell.
Yes, yes.
It has the IR.
Yeah.
IR is looking for a heat signature, and that's what's giving you your vision. So they're saying that what they're seeing is a heat signature. So it could possibly be if it was a Dyson Sphere, and I'm not saying it is, I'm saying some are speculating this is a possibility, a small possibility, but still a possibility. But it would absorb with the solar shields and then be able to circumvent that power to, you know, back to where it needs to go. But those panels would heat up as they were soaking in the energy. Even though they're distributing the energy off, they would still have a heat signature. And this is what some are speculating, that this potential thing that they're seeing, which is not, I want to say, is like maybe 100,000 light years from us, or maybe 1,000 light years. I don't know. Don't quote me, because I was not even in my notes to talk about that today. So it's close enough compared to some of the other stuff that's out there. It's actually relatively close. If that were the case, then that would be an unlimited source of energy, which could literally change how things occur. Okay, so moving forward. So
with the astronauts, do they have any, like, family members? Like, and also,
well, of course they're not listing any of that. I don't have the information on that.
How long were they expected to be up there?
Well, let's see. They're basically saying NASA announced there's an indefinite delay in bringing home these astronauts, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, due to leaks in the Starliner's helium system and thruster failures. Leak in the helium system and issues with the thruster, with thrusters having some, malfunctions or failures or whatever.
So now, is that affecting their air?
No. And okay, they should be able to probably still receive supplies as needed and stuff. They're just kind of on the station. This is their way of getting home. So that's what that is. But despite the issues, NASA confirmed that the Starliner still could return if it was an emergency. So I don't really know what that means, because they haven't provided any written data on how they intend to do that.
So basically, if anything is, like, running out or whatever, then they're still able to come.
They
home.
Should be able. It says, yeah, that.
But if they don't need to, they, that they're still.
Yeah, okay. I'm guessing they're going to stay until it can be fixed. And then, then they will. The timeline, basically, we're talking with is The Starliner launched on June 5th, and it docked with the International Space Station on the 6th of June. The astronauts were initially scheduled to return back home on the 14th of June, but the delays have pushed back their date into an undetermined date, and they're saying likely, hopefully, in July. So, again, American resilience, American might, American, American power, American, ingenuity, and just, the heart of America. They are out there wearing the flag of the United States. They are out there scientifically, but they're still there, and they're there scientifically, and they're doing stuff. They're doing research, that should better mankind, whether it be looking for sustainable resources available on Mars or on the moon or whatever scientific experiments they're conducting on the International Space Station, mm-hmm. they're there.
Hope everything goes well for them. I mean, like my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was initially intended to be an 8-day mission, but basically that they're prolonged to be prepared to stay up to 45 days. Mm. There is a deadline that they're saying that they're pushing for a deadline of July 21st.
Okay.
And I say deadline as in that's what the NASA is saying. This should be the time that they should be able to get this done. But, it could be any day, and that could be the time they're putting out. I'm sure that they're safe. I know that they can get supplies. And NASA's saying the work continues. This is where resilience come in. The astronauts are utilizing their extended mission for valuable scientific work, including spacewalks and data collection on Starliner's performance during the extended mission. See, Starliner had not done a mission this long. So they are doing spacewalks, which every time they do a spacewalk, they're experiencing the vacuum and environment of space. Every time they learn something, every time you go out there, you're used to seeing something, you're going to see something else,
Right, right, yeah.
So, and also this Starliner was only intended for like an 8-day mission or so. So they're checking on it when they're going out, and they're saying, okay, well, there's a 45, they're seeing what the damage, how it handles the 45 days. So, Miss Bianca, do we have an embedded song that we're going to play?
Yeah. I mean, like, since Cobra Kai is coming out soon, I can't wait to know the date of it. And I love the movie Karate Kid, so I figured we should be playing a You're the Best by Beer Tone.
Woo! Karate Kid. Shout out, Ralph. Wait, looking forward to Cobra Kai. Got word we might be getting a guest on here from there, so this is for you. All right, hook it up, Miss Bianco.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's gotta learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you're gonna hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dreams. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You have inside you. Oh, gotta be proud, standing out of the cloud when the odds of the game defy you. Try your best to win them all, and one day time will tell. When you're the one that's standing there, you've reached the final bell. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Gonna ever keep you down.
What a good song. You know,
You're the best. What can we say? And you know what? On that note, I felt that it was a good song for resiliency, you know, because Karate Kid, he came from down and he fought to the end. And this is what our astronauts need to do. This is what NASA needs to do. We need to push ahead hard. And I think that I have another song, Rocky. We're going to take a Rocky. It was Rocky IV. It was when he fought the Russian. Mm-hmm. And Hearts on Fire, John Cafferty. There it is. Hearts on Fire, John Cafferty. Let's play that because you know what? That is another one of American resiliency.
And the Beaver Brown Band.
All right. Hearts on Fire, folks. Enjoy it. Remember that. USA. About that, who doesn't love a little bit of Rocky?
I love Rocky.
Right, a little bit of Rocky never hurt anybody. Sly is quite the quite the honorable guy, honestly. Yes, I know that there's been some questions with some background people, but you know, I found that song to be highly appropriate about American exceptionalism, and that we have a burning feeling in our heart that we as Americans want to be the best. Not that we're conceited, folks. Not that we think we're better than anybody else. But you know, there is nothing wrong. And please, if you take anything from Sinati in this show, there is nothing wrong with having pride for your country. There is nothing wrong with thinking your country is the best. Because you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. Because just like Russia feels that they're the best, and when their soldiers step up on the front line against an American, each side has their own feeling that they're the best. And you can't knock either one for that. So you should never be embarrassed to fly the American flag. You should never be embarrassed to have love for your country. It is just a natural thing to do. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't be disappointed in the actions of some of our leaders and the actions of our government. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, love your country, love your nation. Have respect. These two astronauts are in space, orbiting at 17,500 miles an hour around the Earth, not knowing if they're going to get home or not. That is American might. That is American honor, loyalty, American courage, and ingenuity. And we should respect that. Absolutely. So, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always proud of where I was born.
Right.
And
right.
That's America, and I'm always going to be proud.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you can't love other countries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you can't say, "Hey, I love Italy. I like going to Italy. I like going here. I like going there." But, you know, at the end of the day, this is your nation and this is your home. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. If it's not, then maybe you need to reconsider your living arrangement. You know, that's all.
It's a big world, you know, there's always room.
It's a big world. So, we're getting close to the end here. So basically, just to sum it up, we had a good time here.
I've been having fun, huh?
So basically, to give you the crux of the story and to sum it up, Boeing Starliner, part of NASA's initiative to collaborate with private companies for space missions. The ultimate, historically, NASA handled everything. Mm-hmm. They did everything, whereas now they're using a lot of other private companies to assist in space exploration and space missions. SpaceX, etc. They faced significant challenges. Nobody can say that it has been challenges. These two astronauts, right here, is an example. This is just one challenge of many that we probably don't even know about. But these two astronauts are stuck there for a prolonged period of time in orbit. Right. Now, I'm very sure that their safety will be fine, but it's got to be an unnerving experience. I mean, it's got to be an unnerving, scary experience that you are supposed to be in space for 8 days, and you're told that the ship that you're on has a leak, and the engine that's going to get you home is not firing correctly. That's got to put a little fear in you. But these are professionals, definitely. Right?
Yes, they are. You know, now they have to be mentally strong because day by day, you know, you can't think of the worst. You always have to think ahead and be prepared for the unexpected.
Right. And you know why? Because, they got the helium leak and the thrusters. Mm-hmm. But they have the ability, people can bring things to work on and fix it. The part that you should get out of this story, folks, is a twofold thing.
It's a twofold.
It's a twofold. Twofer.
Okay. All right?
It's a twofer. Yeah, it's okay. A twofer. Thank you, Miss Bianca.
You're welcome.
We'll give you something here, give you a little ding for that. So it's a twofer. So number one is that they are there and they are continuing their mission. Mm-hmm. They're continuing their mission. They're not in there on the radio saying, "How soon can we leave? How can we go?" They're taking advantage of the opportunity. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity to be in space. Not for everybody, Not everybody would want to do it. Flying high is, you know, being up there. It's a serious thing. So it takes a lot of cojones, right? A lot of bolas, a lot of whatever you want to call it. I don't have to cojones. I don't have to bleep it out. It's a word. It takes a lot of tennis balls.
Takes a lot of ungats.
Ungats. and it takes a lot of female tennis balls, too, we'll be fair. You know, we're not going gender here. But it does. It takes a lot of gump and courage to stay there and not. And I mean, of course, there's fear. Mm-hmm. Anybody that doesn't have fear is a sociopath. When you go into any kind of war in a combat fighting situation, into a boxing match, there is fear, but you harness that fear to get you past. That's the resilience. Second fold of their actually completing this mission and doing above and beyond. They're going above and beyond what their mission was. Mm-hmm. The second part of the twofer is this is a display for the world of American might, resilience, and American ability to adapt, overcome, and conquer. Mm-hmm. Not conquer in a way that we're going to take over people, but conquer a situation where the odds are stacked against you. That's the twofer. God bless America. God bless everybody in the space program. God bless these astronauts that are up there, because all they have is time, and they're using that time for good. Yeah. And I believe you have something to piggyback with time.
It's after time after time.
So how does that work?
What a coincidence that you're saying that.
What is the time after time?
We're going to go to Bianca
Cam, folks.
That's a song I wanted to sing.
There you are. I'm Bianca Cam.
Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. And by the way, I personally met Cyndi Lauper. She is a good-hearted woman, I got to say. She's very great.
Very intelligent. Very.
She is.
She is quite the artiste.
Yes.
I'm a fan.
I'm a total fan. I mean, she's a sweet person, and she made me a super fan. So shout out to Cyndi Lauper. And
all right.
Keep on doing what you're doing, because, you know, she's an icon to me. And I'm like, oh, I love her.
All right.
So,
well,
here we go.
So what are you going to do from her?
I'm going to be singing Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Okay. Through windows, you're wondering. Oh, that was just wonderful, Miss Bianca. So here we are. I wanted to just add in the final notes because we're coming on a hard close here to the show. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure I don't fall into a sea hole, but that I do provide. I do take time to put notes together for the show.
Oh, okay.
So I want to extend my deepest feelings and thoughts and prayers to the families of astronaut Wilmore and astronaut Williams, Suni Williams. I do extend my thoughts and prayers to you. You have been a dedicated servant, both of you, to NASA, and you are the epitome of what America is. You are the future of America. There are children around the nation and potentially around the world that will hear this story, look up into the sky and see a star and know that you're up there doing something for the greater good. And for that, we thank you because you do make a contribution to the United States and to humanity at large.
I just gave them a thumbs up up there.
Up thumbs up. You know, who doesn't look up into the sky? You
or
know,
snaps.
I think with the rise of everybody having a video camera and with these new phones, such high definition and stuff, everybody having these devices that we are seeing a lot of space stuff and everybody is assuming everything is a UFO or a UAP. But, you know, there are thousands of satellites up there and the International Space Station can be visually seen with the naked eye. You could go on NASA's website, folks, and you could put in your location and it'll give you the date and time of exactly where to look into the sky, and you will see it. I've personally done it. You will see it moves quickly across the sky. It flies across the sky. And I'm sure people at some point saw that and said, oh my Lord, nothing moves that fast. Well, that's right, because it's going 17,500 miles an hour because it's in orbit.
I got to say, I have an app that has like all the satellites, and my goodness, it's like,
everything is like Starlink. Elon Musk owns like half of the space.
Yeah, from far away, it really looks like, you know, like salt and pepper around the globe. It's crazy how
I'm floored at at how many civilizations might actually be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing. So, Sanati's call to action, folks, because you know we're coming on a hard close here.
Sure.
As we marvel at the bravery and adaptivity. And the adaptability of our astronauts, men or women, gender not included, let us consider the importance of the continued support and funding for NASA and its missions.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say this is a waste of tax dollars.
Absolutely not.
But when we are utilizing resources, valuable resources, on this earth that we live, and maybe one day we may be forced to look elsewhere for life. And but for these people who are doing this, putting their life at risk to explore, that might be what saves humanity. So we need to keep that. These missions don't only push the boundaries of the capabilities of a human, but it drives technological advancements that reach far beyond space. Far beyond space, because there are so many things that we take for granted on Earth as everyday humans, John Q. Public, that were derived from space.
Hmm.
It's fact. This
yeah,
is fact.
Very
I don't want to, it's the end of the show. I don't want to go down the list, but there are plenty of things that came from space that we now use on Earth.
Yeah.
I would say Google it, but we know Google's algorithms are off sync. So find yourself another search engine if possible. There are new ones coming out. And if you do learn proper prompts when you Google, and I always say, validate where you get your information from. When you get intel on Google, look up the original source, not the source that you found it. Go inside the page and look and see. They should cite, C-I-T-E, the like in a research paper, they should cite where it came from. Look inside. Have your head 360, 365, 365 days a year, 360 head on a swivel. That includes when you do research. Don't believe everything you read, folks. Space exploration is at its infancy. And I personally look forward to the advancements that I will see and that the next generation will see. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I want to end it on a wonderful quote from a great American president who spun the entire space program. In the exploration of space, we find the spirit of adventure, the quest for knowledge, and the promise of discovery. The late John F. Kennedy. Miss Bianca, how do you end the show for everybody?
By singing the national anthem a cappella.
You're going to do that a cappella?
A cappella.
All right. Go for it.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rumbling, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still.
And it's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave for the land of the free and the home of the
because Cincinnati Zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.
That's right, folks. Love your country. Check us out on any social media platform. Every single podcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, we're there. Because you know what? Sinati heard you.